Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Well, as you all know, or if you don't, you do now, it's blueberry season. And things are busy at the farm. Now, there's probably 18 acres or so of blueberries at my son-in-law and his family's farm. They're two really large fields that are around the farmhouse where my daughter and her family live. And then there's another field just down the road behind the greenhouse where my son-in-law's brother David and other members of the family live. So the other night they had evening picking hours, and I went to pick with the kids. And I went to the newer field for the first time. One of the battles that they fight against, all of the things that is all of the things that decide they want to grow alongside or in between the blueberry bushes. At this point, there's almost enough wild blackberries for them to have a blackberry picking season. Well, I'm exaggerating just a bit, but it's fun to eat them along the way. Well, as I say, I'm exaggerating a bit about the blackberries, but I'm not exaggerating about the number of things that try to grow up around the bushes. And it's annoying because as you're walking along, you get grabbed by thorns or some sort of vine if you're not careful. That's because I was in picking in a field that wasn't prepared yet for people to come in. My son-in-law spends hours on the tractor mowing to make sure people can get through safely. Now the new field, is not plagued with the same plethora of weeds and things as the old field in between the row, because in between the rows, in the new field, there's beautiful grass and not much other stuff growing with, like I say, a few blackberries. I commented on this to my daughter, and she explained to me that the field at the greenhouse was a newer field, and they figured out better ways to do weed control. So as I was picking, I considered today's gospel. And I considered that I was impressed by how the blueberry bushes, in spite of all the things trying to take them over, to grow around them, to do whatever, that they thrive. And they rise above those weeds and produce that beautiful fruit. And in a similar vein to the idea of the sowed seeds landing in different places where there are different growing conditions, and how some seeds survived and some didn't, I saw the blueberry bushes overcome the weeds and rise above those thorns that grab at your ankles. They still offer the gifts of blueberries. It's a bold attempt that those other species make to take over, but they just can't quite do it. So this parable that we read today is one of the more well-known parables. I find that many people who are unchurched, so to speak, can dig into their memories and remember some of the parables. And that's a testimony to the fact that Jesus knew what he was doing when he used parables to explain things about the kingdom or to help the disciples understand what it was they were called to do. Or, of course, any number of things, because clearly the power of the story resonates and is planted in our memory and hopefully our hearts as well. Things about the kingdom that help us to understand. That's what these parables do for us. Whenever I read something in the Bible that seems obvious, I find it to be a red flag for me to pay attention to the text, to listen, and to explore and to hear what it is the text is saying. So as many times as I've heard this parable, I had to take a minute and stop and say, oh yeah, I know that story. And then when people tell the story about the gospel kingdom, some things are gonna fall on good ground, they're gonna root. And I went through all those things about people who fall away and who are excited and then walk away. And then the people say, well, you know, it's just okay to be a nice person. You don't have to be part of a church. There are all kinds of excuses that people make to walk away from the challenge of hearing the gospel. So we always focus on the seeds. And the seeds are sowed on different types of ground. And we don't always think really about who sowed them. As I understand it, and know it to be true, of course that people in biblical times didn't have John Deere tractors, or any other brand of tractor, or spreader, or whatever, or zero turn anything. You know, all those big fun vehicles that farmers have. Everything was done by their hand with a little help from an ox or two. So I read that many times the seeds were sown almost randomly and then the ground was plowed. So with this method of agriculture, it's no wonder that a lot of the seeds found their way outside the designated fields. And this farming method easily translates into the point Jesus is trying to make about how the seeds of faith and the seeds of truth are sown and received. Not just how the message of Jesus is received, but how the message of Jesus is understood. This is really important to Matthew as he writes the story of Jesus' life. He wants to make sure that people know that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, and a king with authority over earth and all things, and that Jesus suffered for and loved the people. And the parables and the teachings of Jesus are central to Matthew's gospel because of what his purpose is. And in today's gospel is a pretty clear teaching about what the disciples are supposed to expect as they spread the seed of the good news of salvation. So they step into the role of sower, as perhaps even Jesus is sowing some seeds himself. So as I continue to read and think about spreading the seed of the good news of salvation, I can't help but also find a really bold and significant message in the person of the sower. When any of us plant a garden, we're not put off by the fact that weeds will grow, that some plants will thrive and some will not. We plant our gardens with the anticipation of what will be the fruit of our labor. And is in the same way as sowers of the good news, we sow seeds and plant gardens, even though we know that not every seed will sprout and not every garden will thrive. But that doesn't stop us. We till the ground, or we feel the earth in our hands as we tenderly weed around our plants and water them. We take care and watch over them. We tend and care for our gardens in anticipation of what they're going to offer us when they come to maturity and bear fruit. So as I'm thinking about this, I conclude that, yes, it is our call to spread the good news. And the good news of salvation is a gift from God. But we can't just sow the seeds and expect them to thrive on their own. We have to care for them. A friend of mine was telling me recently that the church she'd grown up in was a fairly large church, but it was a bit of a drive from her for her where she and her husband now live. So when they decided they time to call a new pastor, she decided it was a good time to visit some other churches closer to her home. She was amazed and beyond amazed that she only heard from four people that either said, "We're sorry you're leaving the church, we'll miss you, you haven't been here in a while." Four people. We're talking about a good-sized church. I'm talking over 100 daily Sunday attendance. That was her home church growing up. She taught Sunday school. She did everything for that church. And she felt disappointed that the church had done nothing for her. But she did know that Jesus had done something for her because he sent her someplace new where she could be nourished and watered and tilled. So we as sowers, we as disciples cannot fall short. We have to care for one another. We have to feed and water and tend to one another. So this morning, I'm calling each of you, each one of you, to go out and cast some seeds boldly into the world, and then to tend and care for those seeds gently. Sow boldly and nurture gently and tenderly. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.